Speaking of wise, David Carey joins us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
Ho, ho.
Ho, ho. There you go.
I can only muster two hoes this time of the year.
No man is more Christmassy than David. We couldn't afford the third ho because it's, you know, his house
costs
a fortune.
Here,
right. Anyway, let's move on. Seeing we are in the parenting slot. I have a six-year-old boy who also suffers with anxiety. His dad was absent 2 years ago for a four-month stay in a treatment centre, so life at home has been a bit chaotic, to say the least. During this time, he literally followed me everywhere. He did okay in school, but I feel he bottled it up till he got home. I tried seeking help at the worst of it, but everyone told me at the age of 4 or 5 he was too young for intervention. So we worked out our own method of talking about our worries. Lots of progress made, but now and again he relapses into severe anxiety. What can I do to help him? Play therapy was investigated, but I was told at the time he was too young for it. Any advice?
I'm surprised you were told he was too young for play therapy at age 4 and/or 5, because that's the treatment of choice. Although, to be perfectly honest, I am not a huge booster of play therapy interventions for anxiety because we have more specific treatment modalities. Now, you're working at home with him and talking to him about it. Lots of progress being made. I'd be concerned only about the fact that you may be talking too much about the worries. So let me make a suggestion. I've mentioned this before. A worry box, an old empty tissue box. Let the boy himself decorate it. He can draw or write a worry on a small slip of paper, place it in the worry box. He gets an opportunity to choose one from the worry box, just picking at random, of course, blind, hat, hand in box. And he can talk about it with mommy or daddy for 15 minutes a day. Only 15 minutes. Then you throw that one away, and he can always put more in the worry box if he wishes. Mm. And once a day for 15 minutes, he gets to talk about it. That puts a time limit around talking about worries. Too much talk just cements the worry and causes more anxiety. Children this age at around age 6 can benefit from some breathing exercises. There are apps for smartphones. There are CDs and DVDs available. So search those out. Amazon is always a good choice, but go to your local bookshop too, because they may have things. Local toy shop may have things. Children Learning Center, etc. So that's what I would do for a young fellow like this. I'm glad progress is being made. That means progress will continue to be made. He may have been born a little bit predisposed to anxiety. I wonder if there's anxiety in the family constellation. Lost daddy for 4 months while dad was in treatment. You have to wonder then what was might have been going on before dad went into treatment in the home. That could have been the cause of some of the anxiety. I'm optimistic that with some further interventions that are low-key and don't necessarily require professional intervention, he will continue to improve. So do what you're doing. Don't talk too much about the worry. Try the worry box method. Teach him a little breathing exercise. Do some quiet music. No lyrics to the music, just some quiet music. Sit on the floor with him. Put a book on your tummy. Put a book on his tummy. Breathing properly, the book will rise up and down as you inhale and exhale, and that is a visual signal that you're getting enough air into the lower lobes of the lungs to supply the blood with enough oxygen. I think you'll probably be fine. Mm. I wouldn't be too concerned.
It's a difficult one, actually, the talking about it or not talking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you somehow turn a relatively small problem into a huge problem?
Yes, you most certainly can, particularly if you talk about it far too much.
Mm.
And that's why the 10 or 15 minute rule is really important. That's the time of day when we can talk about our little worries and our problems from the worry box. Obviously, other things may arise in the course of the day. Don't ignore the child. Provide a small amount of reassurance and explore with the child some alternative ways of thinking about things. Well, what would really happen if the thing you're worried about actually occurred? What could you do a little bit differently if it occurred? How can we solve this problem together? But keep it short, keep it sweet, and don't constantly being asking the child, have you had any worries today?
Mm.
How are you today? Any anxiety? You know, don't cue it up, because then you're likely to get more of it. Low key, informal, gently, softly approach works a charm for anxiety, because this doesn't sound to me like a child with a genuine anxiety disorder. Mm. Just sounds like a child who's had some life upset. The writer, questioner, is saying, of course, Dad was gone, and yeah. life was chaotic, to say the least. So upset in the family home, upset in the parent constellation, it's difficult.
My 14-year-old has become very disillusioned with school. He's not getting on with his teachers, and he struggles greatly with homework and concentration. However, he's not dyslexic. His mother and I find it very hard to speak to him about these issues, as he's extremely sensitive to criticism and won't engage with us. Can you offer us some advice, please?
Well, I wish I knew more. He's 14 and he's disillusioned with school. No surprise there. A lot yeah. of 14-year-olds are quite disillusioned with school, and often for very good reasons having to do with school.
Yeah.
He won't talk to parents about it. Well, that's not surprising either at age 14. It's kind of a private thing. I think the first thing you should do is gather some more information. After the Christmas holiday, make an appointment with the year head. Drop into school after having asked the year head to converse with some of the teachers or all. Get some feedback about what's going on. Is he struggling with parts of the curriculum? Just because he isn't dyslexic doesn't mean he mightn't have some kind of learning difficulty or perhaps having difficulty keeping up. Let's find out more information before we create a plan. Disillusionment with school is not necessarily a cause for professional intervention, but it is a cause for parental intervention. If you can't speak with him and he won't speak openly with you and your parenting partner, well, why not try to find another family member? Maybe there's a granddad or a nana or an auntie or an uncle with whom he has a very good and wonderful relationship, and they might be able to get him to open up a little bit. Explore all avenues, get more information. I don't know what's going on. 14, he's probably in second year, would you say, Sean, most likely?
Yeah.
Could be third.
Yeah. Oh, no, could be third, yeah.
Could be
yeah.
third, so he may be coming up to exam time. There could be stress-related issues here. Don't be overly worried. Get some more information, please, because yeah. I think you need a little bit more info before you can really help this young fella.
I suppose part of the problem, and it's very frustrating, a 14-year-old boy is the most uncommunicative. They seem to forget how to speak English at that age.
They forget almost everything, including yeah. how to shower regularly, which is why they so frequently stench to the yeah. high heavens.
Ooh, yeah, so don't sit beside him when you're trying to talk to him. But yeah, as David said, get more. Now, the next question, it's a bit on the long side, but we actually did edit it down from the small novelette that was emailed to us. This is from a listener in Canada. They say, though they're Irish, they've lived there for 5 years, haven't moved from Cork. I'm desperate for advice. I have two sons, one who's 5 and the other who's 6 and a half. Both go to a small independent school. We discovered young that the older of the two is competitive to the bitter end. His inner compass is to be the best at everything from assigned tasks to being at the front of every lineup at school. His attitude is causing some serious issues at school and on occasion at home. Like parents winging it every time, we try to guide and nurture him as much as we can. We've never pushed or told him that he has to be the best. His teacher, principal, and I are having trouble, as this older child will turn from being a sweet, loving boy to a stomping, angry mess when provoked. Due to his physical strength, the school are concerned about his outbursts and have encouraged us to get some professional advice. And as of now, we are on a consult waiting list for a paediatrician. For 2 years, we've been trying to regulate different strategies for getting through to him and helping him self-regulate. I have sat and theorised with the 7 teachers and the principal at the school on numerous occasions to talk through potential strategies to help him. So far, nothing has worked. The sudden outbursts are worrisome and violent. What can we do, as I feel we have exhausted everything?
You have far from exhausted everything. I wish I was more familiar with the Canadian educational system. Oh, Canada, huh? Mm. What a wonderful place. All Canadians are nice people.
Yes, they are.
So it's a really lovely place to live. I'm sure they have a special education system there in their schooling and in the local district, where there will be specialist teachers and perhaps someone who coordinates special education activities. Some assessment and some behavioral intervention planning is really appropriate. Now, we have that on offer here in Ireland, and it's certainly on offer in the U.S. of A. and almost every developed country, and some countries that aren't so developed in the world. So you're seeking advice from a pediatrician. Okay, that's good, but that may be the wrong professional here. I think you might want to consult a child psychologist, because children who are suddenly violent are children we need to be very concerned about, because it's only in the latter part of the overall question that we get to something that's really intriguing here, that he's violent, not just that he has a bad temper and is a poor loser. Mm. So there's certain self-regulation issues at play here in this six-year-old boy. Could be a whole host of things. Could be attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It could be spectrum issues. It could be a panoply of possible difficulties. We need to find out. Mm. Do not leave it alone. If you must go privately, then unfortunately try to access a child psychologist with whom you can consult and bring the boy and get some assessment. The local school system may be able to assist with that process. What is clearly needed is a behavioral intervention plan, a written one. And I would make a guess that that's probably available to teachers and school specialists. So ask for that and then implement it. Don't leave it. Certainly proceed with the pediatric consult, but those things 99% of the time turn up nothing at all, because there's hardly ever physical causes
for this kind of behavior,
although sometimes there are. So I think you maybe want to look for a psychologist, and I don't know the Canadian system, if they have educational psychologists, which often in North America are called school psychologists. Seek an appointment with the school psychologist assigned to your child's school and ask them to observe, ask them to talk to teacher, ask them to assist. Help is needed and help is probably at hand here.
Okay, that's what you need to do. That's a fairly clear path there for you to take. Kerry, of course, is still with us for our parenting slot. Just in relation to the previous question we had just before the break there of this 6.5-year-old, he seems to be very competitive and perhaps has some issues with self-regulation. One texter says, tell the family in Canada to read The Explosive Child. This is a book. Will help them understand what their son is feeling, along with getting the help. Says Marie, you familiar with that book, David?
I am familiar, and I often recommend
that book to parents. Yes, I think our texter is dead right there. The book combined with some assessment, because I want to know what's going on with this young fellow.
Yeah.
But the book is a good one.
The young competitive boy is consumed by his ego-based identity. Deal with it now. The ego is the driver of all evil. He views himself as separate from others, requiring he elevate himself above them. He would do well in banking or law, but will find it difficult to be happy.
Psychobabble tea leaf reading here. So I don't know what the heck that means.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck that means either, but there you go. Somebody read a book. Now, my sons are 5 and 3 and learning about their bodies. Most evenings after bath time, they will look at each other's bodies and start to talk about the similarities and differences. At first, we thought this was sweet and helpful, but now my eldest has started pulling down his trousers, asking cousins and neighbouring kids if they have the same as him. One day on the bus, he pointed out how a larger woman on the bus was different to his mammy. This is really embarrassing, and the woman was not happy with me at all. He's just too inquisitive and curious that he can't help himself, despite us telling him to keep these questions for home time. Is there any way to get through to him?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I think what you need is a little response cost behavior management system here. You put some tokens or marbles in a jar. And the number of tokens that you put in the jar, let's say you put 10, and 8 tokens in the jar will earn him some kind of reward at the end of a day. You know, a little extra playtime, such as the other. Every time he asks a rather unpleasant question, you remove a token from the jar. I'm just, you know, the number of tokens is irrelevant. It could be 15, it could be 20, it could be et cetera. And he can see for himself that he loses the privilege. So he needs to have a little consequence for his curiosity and questioning.
it's hard to kind of say it's wrong, though, really, in a way. You know,
exactly,
It is natural.
It is natural. Now, he doesn't have a filter. This is the problem, you know, at his age. How good a filter should he really have? There are things we don't say about people that because it's not polite, and that's what we need to tell them. I think you can extinguish this paper. Try a little behavioral system. You can either go on the reward side if he doesn't talk about it or say about it, or you can go on the response cost side, or you can use a star chart or whatever, or just suffer it for a while. It's, you know, it's very odd that someone would get extremely offended by that, by a little child making fun of their size and whatnot. I remember a child many years ago pointing to me in a restaurant and saying, oh, he's bald, he's no hair in his head. Mm. And I just burst out laughing. I wouldn't find that offensive from a young child. Well,
especially as it's just a statement of fact, exactly. Rather than it's not given any weight to it one way or the other. But as, I suppose sometimes the parent might feel that they're being judged by the person who might not have said anything.
It is embarrassing, let's face it, you know. But we have to have a little bit of a sense of humor about this. One thing we don't want to do is crush his spontaneity and essential joie de vivre about just being alive and having a body. So we want to go carefully here. I think it'll pass, to be honest.
My 2-year-old daughter has been slow coming to speech. She's stringing sentences together now and her vocab is expanding, but we've started to notice she mumbles or stutters a little, repeating the first syllable of a word a good few times. Sometimes she'll get through it and finish her sentence. Sometimes she'll give up. Is this a normal part of speech development or something to get concerned with? Her older brother didn't have anything similar when he was learning to talk.
Well, we never compare an apple to an orange, even though they're both fruit.
Yeah.
So her and older brother, that's an irrelevancy. I would not be the least bit concerned about this. She's 2 years of age. There's a slight stammer. Do not pay attention to it. Do not comment about it. Don't finish her sentences for her. Give her time. If by age 3 it remains pronounced and fairly pervasive in a number of different contexts, you may want to consult a speech and language therapist. But at age 2, I wouldn't be terribly concerned. Her development is pretty well spot on here. She's starting to put words together and her vocabulary is expanding. That's a prognosis for adequate and developmentally appropriate language acquisition. So don't be concerned. Just monitor it a little bit. Certainly, please don't draw attention to it.
Yeah. My daughter is too attached to her teddy, and it's causing issues at school. She's 8 and has been carrying around the same bear for 5 years. She takes him to school and props him upon the desk. Her teacher had issues with this at the start of the school year, but we talked to her about it, and it's allowed for now. Her teacher has said after Christmas this needs to stop, as other kids are not allowed this, and essentially said my daughter needs to grow up a little. She's now 8, almost 9. We just don't know how to break this to her, as I know it will really upset her. What should I do?
Well, teacher needs to grow up a little bit here. What's wrong with bringing a teddy in? And why can't all the children bring a little teddy in and have it sitting there? Why can't we swap little teddies? And there's actually a lot of literacy methodologies that involve taking a teddy home and having teddies write letters, etc. Teachers will know about these kinds of things. So, look, for heaven's sakes, she's 8 and almost 9. She wants her teddy. Oh, is that bad? Is it developmentally a little unusual? Maybe.
Mm.
Get her something else instead. I don't know. I would.
But if it's not getting in the way, then it's not getting in the way.
It's getting in the way with teacher, though. So this is a teacher problem. Now, she needs to grow up. You cannot, ladies and gentlemen, compel your child to grow up any more than you can force your roses to bloom in the garden by shrieking at them, grow up and open. Children grow up on their own developmental profile, and no two are alike. Some are advanced, some are right where we think they ought to be according to the books, and some are a little bit delayed.
Yeah.
We're all different, but we're all human. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. Try short periods of separation from the teddy and see how it goes. I don't know what this means. My granddaughter had a little lamb, Bobsy.
Mm. Yeah.
And Bobsy she carried everywhere with her until she was 7. Wanted to bring. She had actually 3 Bobsies because there was always one kept in the car. Because all holy hell would break loose if Bobsy was left behind accidentally in the frantic rush to get out of the house. So suddenly around age 8, she just abandoned Bobsy. Poor thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, you know? I don't know. And the skinless horse who was so loved he became wise, but it was eventually abandoned and put in the closet by the little boy. So the teddy may eventually be left behind.
And probably, all mine had, and still do, little blankets or blankies, which are then cut into four pieces because, you know, and it's just a thing to snuggle against their, you know when they're tired when they put that up to their face.
I think it's wonderful.
That's it.
Those are what we call transitional objects. And they're very helpful.
Yeah. Now, okay, this is a little bit of a sad one. I'm a father of two. My youngest child is just over a year old. I've only started to notice that I haven't really bonded with him. When he arrived, his mother took care of him while I kept his older brother busy, who was 2.5 at the time. As you know, toddlers at that age are a handful, and we were conscious of making sure he didn't feel like the baby was more important than him. The result being that I don't feel as close to my second son. Will this pass, or is it as simple as spending more time with him and letting the bond form, or are there some elements established in the first year that I've now missed?
I think you need to be looking at yourself more than you look at the child here. Why is it you cannot bond and don't feel close and attached to the child? You might want to get some therapy for this. Certainly do some playtime with him. Get him involved in activities with you. But if you continue to feel nothing, you need help.
Right. Okay. Though from that, it implies that he has bonded with the older child.
Yeah, but there's something amiss here with this attachment, because what we have is attachment theory behind all of this. And if a major caregiver is not securely attached to the child, it's not a healthy thing for the child's emotional development or ultimately social development. Now, we have to assume, I think, that the child is securely attached to the mother, but not the father. But I would question this now. I don't know what's going on. I'm concerned about the dad, to be honest. And now it speaks very well of him that he's cognizant of this and has had the courage and insight to question it. Maybe a few sessions of counseling will help you ferret this out. There is something, by the way, called filial play therapy, in which caregiver and child play together under the watchful eye of a play therapist who observes the interactions between the child and the parent and provides very specific feedback and instructions about what to do and what not to do based on their observations. So you may want to look up filial play therapy. There are a lot of practitioners in the greater Dublin area and around Ireland. These are short-term interventions, can be extremely helpful to you.
Yeah. God, I hope that. You see, but it could be, though, because, you know, he's been looking after the older one, mammy's been looking after the younger one, that if the one-year-old falls over or can't find their dodie, you know, they tend to reach for mammy rather than daddy more. And
I suppose, but the emptiness inside, the inability to feel what most of us intrinsically feel when we first lay eyes on our infant.
Yeah.
It is part of how the brain is wired.
Yeah.
You know, the human brain has as one of its three primary functions to attach to and nurture our young, to assure survival of the species on the planet. That is a prime directive of the human brain. If that is absent in one child and present in another, there's some imbalance there. I think we can come to the conclusion, do something about it.
Yeah.
Don't just wonder. Filial play therapy may solve this problem.
Yeah, and as you've said, it speaks well of him that he's aware of the problem and doesn't want to do something about it.
I definitely think that. Congratulations.
Now, just going back to the question about the five-year-old who likes to talk about interesting subjects quite loudly. I've said to my 5 and 8-year-old boys on numerous occasions, note the numerous bit, to say anything about someone later when that person is not around. Even who is he in front of him could have been a disaster. Fortunately, I remembered his name. That was from my 8-year-old, so best of luck. Indeed. Best of luck. So that's the time for that's all the time for our parenting slot. It's often been we always get during the parenting slot or before, during and after, lots of complimentary texts about David Carey. Lots of people also as well, especially at this time of the year, speculate that just based on the sound of his voice, he sounds like Santa, and people who've met him think he looks like Santa. And as you can hear, David laughing there. But,
ho, ho, ho.
David always,
a third ho now.
David always mysteriously disappears for a few days around this time of the year and doesn't want us to ask him where he goes. And we won't do that. We'll respect that again this year. So, David Carey, happy Christmas to you, and we look forward to seeing you again in the new year.